Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime with KK and Lo. Lo, how's it going? We're in your house recording. It's been a minute.
Face to face. Look, I can reach over and touch her and feel her.
She just touched my leg, I can confirm. It's been like a while, I feel like, since we've recorded face to face. We've been doing the Zoom-ish calls, you know, online recordings, making it work. But yeah, and Lo got a brand new pretty desk that we're sitting at. Love it.
Everything actually fits, and then I have extra room. I can have the candles and the lamps and multi-computers, and it's an L-shaped desk, and I can spin and turn and all kinds of things.
Love it.
So it was a birthday gift from the husband, so shout out. He did good.
Shout out P-Mill. Our former editing guy, and he's our tech person every now and then as well.
He still helps out with the tech when you need it. Editing, he's like, fuck off and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, not in those words, but we took it into our own hands, and then we went to her. So she does, Crystal does all the editing and sound and all the stuff, so.
But he supplied us with this beautiful desk, so love it. I wish you guys could see it, because it's so nice. I walked in and I was like, ooh.
I'll post pictures. I gotta clear some stuff up, because we moved things around and emptied out shelves and desks, and now there's just junk over there, but when it looks nicer, I'll post pictures.
Love it. But yeah, so we're in recording on a cozy night. It's a rainy day.
It's cold and windy as shit out there.
It is. It's definitely not nice outside. But it's the perfect recipe for the dinner that Lo made us. Comfort food. Oh my gosh.
Stop, I'm blushing.
Thanksgiving bowl, you guys. So good. I've had it before and like it never ceases to like just make my taste buds happy.
Seriously, it takes 10 minutes.
It's so amazing.
It's just, you put some butter in the pan, chop up some onion, celery. I use craisins, because why not? Apparently my stomach is hungry again.
You're describing it and your stomach's like, ooh, yeah.
And you put, like, last time I used green beans, this time I used corn. And then you cook, put your stuffing mix in with a little bit of water, and just, I chopped up some turkey lunch meat and mixed it all up, let it sit for a few minutes, and side of mashed potatoes and gravy, and it's just like a all-in-one thing.
Chef's kiss.
It was good. It was good.
Perfection. And then we're going to watch a movie after this, which we'll discuss in our next episode, so look out for that.
It was a challenge, so we're taking another challenge. I'm just calling them movie challenges. They're not really challenges, but people keep coming up to us and saying, have you seen this movie? It's so disturbing. And I'm like, challenge accepted.
Yes.
So,
and then we crush it because we're not that disturbed ever.
Really, we're not.
No.
It's a Denzel Washington movie. It is called The Little Things. So I don't even know if I've even really heard of it.
I have not.
So we're just going to watch it because, I mean, worst case scenario, it's Denzel, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be good. No matter what, it'll be good. But we stay tuned for next week. We'll let you know our thoughts and feelings on it.
Yeah, so any other movies that you think we should watch that you don't know if we could get through? Speaking of movies to get through, I got through it because it was dumb as crap. But my daughter, I let her pick a horror movie. I don't even know what the name of the movie is, honestly. I can't even remember what the real name of the movie is.
It was bad?
It was Winnie the Pooh.
Oh yeah.
Is that the name of it, Winnie the Pooh?
It's like it's like the Winnie the Pooh, but it's like crime or whatever.
It was just nothing but brutal, savage murder. Like, there was very little storyline in between. I mean, it was very typical. Teens get together, they go to an empty house out in the woods, and then slasher starts. But these people were so brutal. Like, it wasn't even like a cat and mouse type thing. Like,
just, you know, straight up gore?
Pretty much. It kind of reminded me almost more like a House of a Thousand Corpses, where it was just like, bam, bam, bam. Like, I don't know. Like, it was so, you know, this one was Pooh, Piglet, and it might have been just been Pooh and Piglet. They're making another one.
Are they actually?
Charlotte says she thinks they're doing Tigger this time or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Or maybe Rabbit. I don't know. But I'm just like, it was terrible.
I remember when the trailer for it came out. I feel like it came out a couple years ago. And the trailer at least. I don't know when the movie came out. But I remember watching the trailer and I literally thought it was fake. I'm like, there's no way. Like, this is not a real movie. And then, like, I heard that it was actually a legitimate movie.
Google it. Watch it.
I don't know. You're making it sound pretty horrible. I don't know if I can make it through it.
I'm like, I don't know. She's got another set she wants me to watch. I'm like, I don't know. Your recommendation. So now she's into The Terrifier.
Okay. I've never seen that.
Part one and part two already, I guess.
Oh, okay.
She watched them with her friend, and then she went to her dad's, and she made them watch it. I don't know. We'll get back to you on it. So, yeah, I mean, it can't be worse than poo. So if you have movies that you want us to watch, put them on the Facebook, email them, whatever, Instagram message. Let us know. We'll watch it and we'll take the challenge and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, send them our way. If you think that we cannot make it through something, I guarantee, I feel like me and Lo can make it through
it. We're pretty freaking desensitized.
Yeah, we're pretty, like, unaffected, so I think that we can do it. So,
or
yeah.
If you just want to hear our thoughts on one, then let us know.
Right. We'll do our movie review.
So, are you ready for Lowe's Hollywood Lowdown?
Boom, boom, boom. So we're ready.
We're still working on the kinks of the...
The jingle, yeah.
Yes. I'd like to say I'm not lazy, and I'm really not. It's just I think about it when I'm at work, and I'm like, well, I can't do it. I'm at work because I'm at work, girl. And then I get home, and then I have 50 million other things to do for my kids, and then I'm doing other research and everything else, and then I'm like, well, now it's bedtime. And so tomorrow my goal is to try to get Charlotte's keyboard out and come up with
a jingle, yeah. I know, it's so hard, too, because, like, I am not musical at all. So, like, anything that I would even come up with, I feel like would just, like, hurt people's ears or, like, not sound functional.
Or if you're a singer and you can come up with a jingle for us, send it your way and we'll use it as our jingle for free publicity.
How fun. We'll shout you out if you, like, make music and all that. Yeah.
Yes. It'll be the Lowe's Hollywood Lowdown jingle.
I love it. Send it our way, people.
Okay, so if you are with me, you know that sound. That sound is like Thursday night lineup. Okay, that's coming on, which is Beverly Hills, 90210, and then Melrose Place is right after. Okay, you did not leave for 2 hours. Okay, and when you heard that sound, you knew, dude, park it, because Dylan McKay is coming on that screen. Okay, like... So that's where I learned of Tori Spelling. Donna, okay? Everybody loved Donna Martin. Donna Martin graduates, right? Like, everything. So this headline is, Tori Spelling admits that she can't poop or pee alone. So she has her 7-year-old son watch. Like, okay. So many things, but...
So many thoughts run through my head when you read that. So I'm very... This is Lowe's... You know, guys, this is Lowe's Hollywood Lowdown, so I don't know what's about to be shed here, but I'm very interested and intrigued by this headline.
So she admits... I guess she's got her own podcast, Misspelling is the name of her podcast, and she said that she hasn't peed alone in 18 years. She was married to Dean McDermott for quite a while. And she always did her business in front of her husband. And now she has to go in front of her kids. Like, I mean, okay, I guess I'll continue the story. And then
we'll do thoughts after.
So first it was Dean. And then she said, she's got 5 children, which I didn't even know she had that many.
Oh.
Liam is 17, Stella 15, Hades 12, Finn 11, and Beau is 7. And she said that Bo stands there and stares at me and talks to me while I'm pooping. She said, I think I function better with people. So Hearn McDermott, he is 57, and she was 50. They called it quits in June of 2023. She said it was like a beast-like argument in which she threw a loaded baked potato at him. girl, not judging. We've all been there. You got to make that choice to walk away or go to jail, okay?
Yep.
And so... Obviously, I don't think it was jail time. It was a baked potato.
Like, right. She could have thrown much more painful things. A baked potato at least is, you know, soft.
Was it, like, loaded? Did it have, like, bacon and cheese and onion on it?
Yeah, like, was there sour cream involved? Was it really hot?
Or was it, like, a just plain baked potato? Was it cut? Or was it, like, still... I mean,
yeah.
We got questions.
So many different things that it could have been.
Right. And now it's a mashed potato.
Yeah, so, I mean, exactly.
So they filed for divorce in March, which I guess she ended up telling him on her podcast that she filed. They've done it. She said, in a formality during a phone call, telling him that she loved him though, before hanging up.
I just heard about this.
So she tells him that she filed for divorce and then she says, she hangs up, says, I love you. And then hangs up.
Yes. Calls him during her podcast.
Yes.
To tell him that she wants a divorce. How wild.
That she actually filed, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it says that while his side of the conversation wasn't aired, she said that she has a lawyer, or she claimed that he had a lawyer and he was going to do this, but cool, yeah, saves me the $500. and it just goes on to say that, you know, they did get married in 2006, started growing their family, you know, the following year. She said that he has moved on with a chopped Canada. I don't know, is that like a food?
It must be like a food show or something in Canada.
With Lily Kahlo. And she said that she actually likes his girlfriend a lot. And, however, she still calls her ex babe in front of Lily as well. They have family dinners together. And she's like, what am I supposed to call him, Dean? I haven't called him that in 18 years. It's weird. So.
This whole thing is wild to me. Like, could you imagine, like, if you were having dinner with, like, your ex and he called you babe in front of your boyfriend slash husband, whatever. That's weird. Why did she call him babe?
Yeah, that is kind of... But I mean, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of women out there. Like, even some of my friends that are older, they always call me hun or babe. Or, yeah. Hey, I'm going to call you back, sweetie. Because, you know, the ones that are older than me.
Yeah.
But, and there are a lot of women that refer to people as babe. Everybody's babe.
That's true.
But still, I would feel at that point it is a little, because they're 18 years of marriage.
Yeah.
And then.
The girlfriend has to feel so awkward.
You would think.
Yeah, unless she's just super cool
about
it.
I mean,
unless
they got like a whole Demi Bruce Willis thing going.
Right.
But I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah. This whole story, I mean, let's jump back to the whole pooping and peeing in front of your kids, like, that's like a ritual. It's not just like, you know, here and there or whatever. It, like, no, every time.
Hey, babe, son, come here. No, seriously, come here. I have to poop. I know I gotta poop. I need you. Please come here.
Like, I just feel like, is that okay? Like, does she have issues where she's like, is she scared to? Does she feel uncomfortable? Like, if she doesn't have someone there? And then also, what implications does that put on the children in the future? Like,
what
that's
is he
very
seeing
weird.
As far as, yeah, dropping drawer parts at 7, that's kind of old to be seeing,
right,
you know,
mom's parts.
Yeah, I mean, like,
maybe.
So Charlotte, like, you know, she was today, we were downstairs and she was doing something, like lip gloss, I don't know, doing something in the bathroom, and she was taking forever. I was like, move, I'm gonna pee real quick. But were both girls.
Yeah, and she wasn't, like, standing there watching you. No, she was doing her thing,
and I just ran in there. I was like, I'm just going to pee real quick.
Yeah, right.
So I feel like that was, like, okay, but, I mean, she wasn't...
Yeah, that's different. Like, this is, like, weird.
You know, I wouldn't... I mean, well, Corbin's 16 now, so it would really be weird if I peed or pooped in front of him. But even when he was, like, 5, I don't think I would have done it just because he's a boy.
Yeah, right.
At that point, you're starting to notice a difference. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's very odd.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like the Heidi Klum conversation of it all where, like, you know, she just walks around naked all the time. And she'll walk naked in front of her kids.
Well, and her... She's from Canada?
Germany,
sorry. I don't know why I was going to say Canada. I don't know how that goes down. It's very normal there. It's very relaxed there.
So it's like maybe...
Here in America, we're a little bit more prudish.
Right, yeah.
And she said that they'd go to nude beaches and stuff, but she had bottoms on.
Okay.
You know, it was just topless. Right. Or whatever. But I, you know, if I was Heidi Klum, I'd probably be proud to be naked
all
the time,
too. That's true. That's true. If you look, that girl, like, anybody looked like Heidi Klum.
She's got legs that go on forever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
Stereotypical model body type.
I'd be probably showing that shit too. Right. Let you breathe.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Sorry, my daughter. She plays that damn song.
But yeah, this is just overall a wild story from, like, every single aspect of it. Like, I feel like there are three parts of, like, craziness to this story, and I just love it. I'm here for it.
I thought it was, I mean, I know it's not, like, headline, like, crime, but sometimes we need a little bit of just fun, weird stuff, too.
Yep.
And I felt like this was just kind of like, because everybody loves Donna Martin, but this was just, like, a weird side.
Yes, you know? Where you're, like, scratching your head, like, what? After, like, hearing it, but no.
Donna? What are you doing?
What are you doing, girl?
What are you doing? So I need to call David Silver.
Oh, my gosh. Other news. And me and Lo were talking about it. We're like, well, it's not... We're not going to say it's good news or bad news. It's just news, you know? We found out the last couple days on April 10th, which was this past... Wednesday. It'll be last Wednesday by the time you guys hear this. But O.J. Simpson has officially passed away. He had cancer. So, he is deceased.
And I'm very, like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to give it a second thought.
Right. Very indifferent about that.
And before you guys are like, damn, y'all brutally assholes, we just want to let, you know, in case you don't know, which anybody who listens to this show probably knows who O.J. Simpson is.
Yeah, if you don't know, you, like, completely live under a rock. No judgment. I mean, or if you're younger, maybe you don't know because this did happen, like, 90s. But I feel like...
Yeah. So, to sum it up, he was a football star from the 70s. And then he ended up... So, yeah, 1969... And then he played 69 to 77 through Buffalo Bills, and then went to the 49ers from 78 to 79. And I don't know, he had some all-star shit, but I'm not going to go into it because he doesn't deserve all the glory.
No accolades deserved there.
So he ended up murdering Nicole Brown on, what do you say, June?
Allegedly.
Yes.
For legal purposes, allegedly.
Allegedly murdered his wife and bestie on June
12th. 1994.
But, ironically, he did not go to prison until December 5th, 2008, when he was sentenced to 33 years in prison. He got parole after 9 years, but he was... released in July of 2017 from Lovelock Correctional Center in Nevada, which was the same day that 58 people were killed in a mass shooting in Las Vegas. Not saying he had anything to do with it. Not
just bad vibes that day overall.
Yes. But he ended up going to prison because he took two guys at gunpoint at a Las Vegas hotel, and he got kidnapping and armed robbery charges.
So crazy. I mean, I'm glad, you know, karma caught up with him and he got put away eventually, but it just... I just feel like pretty much everybody feels like he was the reason for his wife's passing. So just the fact that he completely got away with that just never will sit right with me.
So just to give you a little bit of background. 911
emergency. Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record. Could you just send somebody over here?
Okay, what is he doing there?
He just drove up again.
He just drove somebody over? Okay, wait a minute. What kind of car is he in?
He's in a white Bronco, but first of all, he broke the back door down to get in.
Okay, wait a minute. What's your name?
Nicole Simpson.
Okay, is he the sportscaster or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute, we're sending the police. What is he doing? Is he threatening you?
I'm going nuts.
Okay, has he threatened you in any way, or is he just harassing you?
You're going to hear him in a minute. He's about to come in again.
Okay, just stay on the line.
I don't want to stay on the line. I'm going to beat the shit out of
you. Wait a minute, wait. Just stay on the line so we can know what's going on until the police get there, okay? Okay, Nicole?
Uh-huh.
Just a moment. Does he have any weapons?
I don't know.
Okay.
He went home. Now he's back. My kids are upstairs sleeping, and I don't want anything to happen.
Okay. Has he hit you today or no?
No.
Okay. You don't need any paramedics or anything?
Uh-uh.
Okay. You just want him to leave?
My door. He broke the whole back door in.
And then he left and he came back?
And he came and he practically knocked my upstairs door down, but he pounded it, and then he... screamed and hollered, and I tried to get him out of the bedroom because the kids were sleeping in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then he wanted somebody's phone number, and I gave him my phone book and was about, or I gave, put my phone book down to write, mm-hmm. write down the phone number that he wanted, and mm-hmm. then he took my phone book with all my stuff in it.
The dispatch.
What?
What does he say?
What the hell is
Lillian, it's your domestic violence at 30 Christian 323 South Crescent Greenway. The suspect has now entered in the
Shamrock.
He's refusing to leave. It's called too high. It's been 4221 already 825 children.
Okay. Is he upset with something that you did?
Oh, a long time ago, it always comes back.
So, just a reminder of why we don't care that much that he's gone.
Yeah, just, I feel like that really just paints a picture of, like, the tip of the iceberg of what that whole situation probably was.
But I do wonder, like... and I would hope that she's on the same page. But Kris Jenner, this was the last... There were a foursome for a while. It was OJ, Nicole, her, and her husband. And her husband passed away due to illnesses a long time ago. But that was like... she's like the last remaining of their squad.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she hung out with, obviously, OJ after everything happened. I don't know. There's a lot of... conspiracy and rumors, and I mean, there's a lot of people think that Khloé is his. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like,
there are certain feature similarities, definitely. Yes.
But, I don't know, it is a terrible situation, but I'm wondering if it like brings up old wounds, or is she just like, you know, peace, my brother,
right? I am curious, I'm sure she definitely had some type of emotional reaction, not to say that it necessarily was that she was like just sad that he died, but like probably just, yeah, thinking of everything that happened and like how they were all once so close, to just like everything that happened since then is just truly insane. So I'm sure she definitely had some type of like intense emotions just around the situation, but I am curious as to like what exactly she's like kind of feeling like at the moment. But yeah. So that's really, I feel like, all I have to say about it, because I...
Yep.
Yeah.
We're moving on. Crystal's got some other douchebags to talk about.
Yep, some other effed up guys out there. So today, we kind of hinted at it last week. We're going to be talking about no one other than Jared the Subway Guy. This guy, total disgusting, horrible monster pervert.
Did you watch the, before you, as you did this before, did you watch the doco?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there is a doco on Max right now.
Yep. It's actually from ID Discovery, and it's on a few platforms.
Okay. I watched it on Max.
So did I.
It was actually funny. I was watching the Dan Schneider episode, and it ended, and then that one was right next to it. I was like, oh, snap. Crystal said she was going to do this. I'm like, well, I'm going to watch it.
Yep.
So I can keep up.
Right.
So I did. And I think his is only like 3 episodes. It's not.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. I mean, there's a story, but it's not like...
Yeah, it's not going to be like the longest, most crazy... I mean, it's crazy information, but not going to be like an intense amount of information. But I mean...
I do have thoughts, and we'll talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to talk about the lady that was the forefront.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So before I get started too, you know, just... I feel like it's funny, I guess, when I... Like, when one of us give trigger warnings for, like, certain episodes. Because it's, like, really, all of our episodes probably could use trigger warnings because they're all effed up. But this is a little different.
They involve kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more triggery.
Yeah, there's definitely pedophilia. If you aren't aware of this story, which I feel like a lot of people are, but actually, there are a lot of people who don't know about Jared's crimes that he committed. So you might not even know anything about this and be like, what? But yeah, there is pedophilia involved, lots of crimes with children. So if that makes you, I mean, it makes me feel very uncomfortable. But like, if you are like really sickened and cannot listen, we totally understand. So I would just like not listen.
This is another reason why I like Jersey Mike's.
Right, yeah, we're Jersey Mike fans, not Subway. Although I do feel like a little bit bad for Subway just because they didn't know that like this guy was a pedophile.
Well... There was a complaint or two, and they kind of...
Yeah, they did kind of, like, breeze over it.
Under the rug a little bit, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the other guy, Russell?
Russell, yep.
I don't know if there were a complaint it was on Jared or Russell, but they were the team anyway.
Yeah, and they kind of just, like, skirted over that and was like, no, everything's fine. Like, Jared's our guy, our spokesperson, everything's cool, just eat Subway. But yeah, definitely...
Crystal will get to that, too.
We'll get into all that. But
every time you move your arm, I think it's like an animal going across the window.
The reflection of the window.
Dude, when we're on Zoom, it's your foot, now it's your arm.
I gotta keep you on your toes, give you that.
Got body parts always moving.
I do. I'm a very, I move very much when I talk. Yet another reason why this is probably good that we don't, visually record our episodes, because you guys would be like, girl, sit the fuck down.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, on to Jared Fogle's story. So, Jared Fogle, he was born August 23rd, 1977 in Indianapolis, Indiana. He was overweight pretty much always as a child, and by the time he was in college, he had gotten to 425 pounds.
What's the boy?
So, yeah, he definitely, he was a bigger guy. And kind of the docuseries, if you guys go and watch it, but it opens with a look back on what Jared was like as, like, a kid and a young teen and everything. And they even had a couple of his old classmates in the docuseries, and you know, they just kind of talked about how he was pretty much the biggest guy in their school. He really didn't have a group of friends. He was super quiet and just mostly an outcast, but he definitely was very recognized just because of how like large he was. So it's not really like you know, when there are some kids that are, like, super loners and, like, quiet, they kind of go unseen and they can kind of, like, scathe by, like, not being noticed. He really didn't have that just because he was the biggest kid in school, so he did gravitate a lot of attention. But, yeah, he really didn't have friends or much of a social life in school at all. And by the time Jared got to college, you know, he talks about this in interviews and stuff as well, but he was just sick of being the big guy and just living an unhealthy life. So he kind of just like made the decision that he would try something out, try some diet out. And you guessed it, it was Subway. really odd decision in my opinion. But, I mean, it ended up working great for him because, like, I feel like if I, whenever I try to lose weight, which is, like, literally my whole, like, always, I just feel like I'm always like, oh, I need to lose weight. I never, like, think, like, oh, I should go to eat Subway every day. You know, I feel like that would backfire on my body, but, I don't know. It worked wonders for him. He wasn't much of a cook, and, like, at that point, you know, it was, like, the 90s, Subway kind of advertised themselves and deemed themselves as, like, a healthy, faster food option, so I think in his mind, he was kind of like, oh, well, it's better than McDonald's, and I'll just try this out.
And back then, you could get a footlong for $5. That ship has sailed, or
how? I know, like, how much are they now?
Dude, it's, like, for me and Charlotte to each get a sub, like, combo meal, it's, like, almost $30.
Ridiculous. Yeah, no. They're definitely not the cheap prices that they were back in the day.
Yeah. Bring back the five. $5 foot long.
Yes. I remember all the commercials. That shit would get stuck in my head all the time. but his go-to that he kind of stuck with, and he literally had this, like, every single day. Like, he wasn't joking when he said this. He typically would get, like, a turkey club sandwich for lunch, and then he would get a veggie delight sub for his dinner. And, like, kind of like I said, like, if I ate two subs a day, I do not think my body would react the same as his.
Well, it's probably very bland, too. No mm-hmm. sauce, no mayo, no mustard. Probably maybe a little bit of vinegar, like.
Yeah, like, the most light it could be.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess, too, if he was 425 pounds or whatever I said, I'm sure he was totally reducing his calories. And, like, you know, he was getting a veggie sub, so he was getting a lot more, like, greens in his diet. So I'm sure that that, like, played a huge role as well.
I doubt it was the meatball sub.
Yeah, yeah, probably not. No chicken parm subs for him. But yeah, that was his magic recipe, and, you know, he wasn't a huge fan of water, so he would always wash them down with some Diet Coke. He switched from the regular Coke to the Diet Coke. He was making changes in all of his aspect or whatever, and he even ended up upping his weight loss regimen by adding walking to his Subway eating routine, so he was getting the steps in as well. So yeah. Jared, he ended up losing 245 pounds from eating these Subway sandwiches every day in just a short 11 months. And, like, when you think about that, that's less than a year to lose 245 pounds. I mean, that truly is, like, astonishing if you think about it. A lot of people can't do that. So, obviously, this was, like, a huge deal. A local journalist heard about this crazy transformation and just like the way that Jared achieved it and ended up writing an article on him. His weight loss story was featured in his college newspaper, and then he was also featured in a Men's Health article about weird diets that actually work, which, you know, very fitting because Subway diet, who thinks of that? Because I don't know, there are definitely a lot of weird diet fads that have gone on throughout the years, but this, I just feel like this one has to be like a top one, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they do like the no carbs, no sugar, reduced calorie, like all those, but like Subway,
veto, vegan, keto,
yep,
Weight Watchers, Atkins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all...
So many of them is... It's just wild. So, from these articles coming out, Subway eventually got wind of it. And because they had been marketing themselves as the healthy fast food option, they were like, oh, hell yeah. Like, this is our proof of what we're trying to, like, advertise right here. People are going to totally connect with this. So they quickly got in touch with Jared. Because, you know, it's one thing to tell people that you're the healthy option, but it's definitely another to show them a slim guy holding up, like, a giant-sized pair of jeans, saying that he no longer fits them solely because he chose to eat Subway every single day. They were like, I'm sure they saw dollar signs in their eyes when they heard about this story. And, you know, they jumped on this. And in the year 2000... Subway shot their first commercial with Jared, and it was an instant hit. People totally connected to it, loved it. They wanted to do the Subway diet, and Subway deemed Jared their official spokesman. And at that point, you know, Subway was super pumped about this. They were gaining a lot of, like, attention because of this spokesperson. They couldn't have wished for a better guy to do it. Jared, he became the face of the brand. Everybody quickly knew him and even became fans of him. They put him in ads, he led their campaigns, they flew him around the world to go to events. You know, he got sent to schools to preach the benefits of healthy eating, in particular the benefit of healthily eating Subway. And he was just becoming like this huge famous face that everybody knew. He was getting stopped in the streets for pictures, being recognized. He was going all over different news and TV stations to interview on how he ate Subway to get skinny and how he wants to help people, particularly children, to learn about healthy eating. So thus created the world knowing him as Jared the Subway Guy. Now, I have to say, the fact that he particularly put an emphasis on wanting to help children learn about healthy eating, I feel like back then, when it was all happening, everybody was probably like, oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, he wants to help our youth learn how to eat healthy. But now, looking at it through, like, the lens of knowing his intentions and all the things that he did that we'll get into, it just makes me feel very icky.
Very icky.
Yeah. Also, in the year 2000, Jared started the Jared Foundation. And, of course, it was to help raise awareness for childhood obesity. And, like I said, it sounds nice and people, it makes sense because he was an obese child. So, like, he has that connection to that. So, like, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think people thought anything of it because he was working for Subway. He lost a bunch of weight. He was an obese child. So it only makes sense that he was thinking to, like, start this charity for children. But yeah, different outcome than what people were expecting. So as Jared is going around different media platforms around the world, he ends up going to Florida and Sarasota on a popular radio show around there, being interviewed about his health and successes with Subway. Now, this interview was a very, you know, normal interview, whatever, but it would change the trajectory of Jared's life in the future and put a stop to the monster that he secretly was. And that was all thanks to the radio interview host herself, Rochelle Herman. Now, Rochelle, she was a very liked person. She was energetic. She was happy. Everybody loved her. She had a husband. She had two children with him, a boy and a girl. After 10 years of marriage, however, she did end up divorcing from her husband. And this kind of led her to wanting to create a career for herself, and she began working in the radio industry in Florida. She got pretty successful with her radio show, and she was well known around her area. You know, people loved Rochelle. She was really heavily described as just a beautiful, bright, outgoing, overall very bubbly person. And just hearing that makes me sad, because if you do watch the docuseries, she's a very, very big part of it, and she talks a lot throughout the episodes. But it makes me sad because, like, of what her life turned into because of Jared. It basically just destroyed her as a person in a way. And we're going to talk about everything that she had to do to bring him down. But, I mean, I just would like to say that Rochelle, I feel like she's like a true hero. She really sacrificed big chunks of her own life, her health, and her happiness just for the justice of these children out there. So yeah, just wanted to put that out there. But kind of going back into it, with her radio show becoming bigger and more successful, that's how she landed this interview with no one other than Jared Fogle, the Subway guy. And I'm sure she was kind of like, ooh, awesome, Subway guy. This is kind of like a big deal because he's a little celebrity now. And he gets there. Rochelle says that upon meeting him, he seemed just like a very nice, normal guy. She did say that he was a little bit flirty with her, but I feel like from what we hear, Rochelle was a really pretty girl and she was used to getting that, so it didn't really faze her. The interview went well. They talked about basically what you would imagine they talk about: his weight loss, his charity with children, all of the stuff that Jared was about. Then, in 2006, Jared Fogle attended a school health event in Sarasota, Florida. And Rochelle, the local radio reporter, she was in attendance as well. And while she was at the event, Jared was talking, and he just randomly makes this weird offhand comment. And he basically goes, "Oh, middle school girls are so hot." So,
ew.
Yeah, ew. Like, so this obviously alarmed Rochelle, as it would any other normal adult person. But she was kind of just, like, in shock in the moment because, like, what? What do you say to that when somebody says that to you? So she just sort of awkwardly laughed it off, even though in her gut she felt very disturbed just by that comment. It rightfully did not sit well with her. So she decided to go to her producer, and she was like, "Yo, that Jared guy just said he thinks middle school girls are hot. And, like, also, we're at, like, a school event right now. Like, what the heck is going on?" Like, so disgusting. Her producer said, "Well, that's really gross. That is really gross. But unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it because it's still technically, like, hearsay. You know, we don't have proof of it. You just kind of heard him say that, so you can't really do too much about it. I mean, you could say that you heard him say it, but that probably would just start a bunch of shit and it would go nowhere.
You know that he's a gold miner right now, so people are trying to probably not rock the boat because they need him to
exactly
keep me in that face.
Exactly.
Just punch in the face.
Right. So, you know, she understood what her producer was saying, but Rochelle just really couldn't stop thinking about it, and she just had a really bad feeling about this. And so she contacted the FBI. But, you know, they didn't obviously have any evidence to investigate him. So Rochelle, as a journalist, she decided to dig deeper into this, and she begins to investigate Jared herself by building, like, a friendship, almost, situation with him. So upon building this friendship with him, like, talking with him pretty regularly, he had told her that he found minors attractive because they just have such nice, pure bodies. And he said being with someone 9 or 10 years old would be really hot.
When I heard that on the document, it literally made my skin crawl.
Yes, like, it makes me, like, quiver with, like, disgust.
And the fact that she could hold composure on the phone with him, she was digging deep, deep within inside. Like, she was really fighting for kids.
Mm-hmm. Like, that takes a very strong person to hold composure in that, because even just hearing it as an outsider, like you said, it's just so disturbing. So, Rochelle had a few tapes. She took them to the FBI, but the agents told her that because she had recorded Jared without his knowledge, the tapes were inadmissible in court. So she became an informant for the FBI, keeping up her relationship with Jared and handing over their taped chats to the agency. Now, this went on for about 3 years. And rightfully so, Rochelle became really frustrated, because that's a long-ass time to be doing this. And the FBI, they attempted to lure Jared to Sarasota, Florida for a fake children's birthday party to prove that he was willing to cross state lines in order to have sex with a minor. However, this plan kind of failed and was foiled due to a last-minute change in his schedule, so he was unable to attend the party, and thus the sting operation failed. So at this point, she's just thinking that she needs to collect all the evidence that she can. She went back to the FBI later with incriminating text messages that Jared had sent her. They then had her record phone conversations, they wiretapped her, and for years, Rochelle recorded all of her phone conversations with Jared, and eventually, he started beginning disclosing some pretty disgusting details to her. Jared would detail about how he'd like to have sexual relations with kids as young as 10, both boys and girls. He did not have a preference. And, you know, Rochelle had to pretend like she was into it as well, because that was really the only way that she could get more information out of him. Like a normal person, she was just so utterly disturbed by all of this, but she felt like she had to play along for the sake of the investigation. And, like, I can't even imagine how crazy this must have been and how scary this was, you know, thinking, is he just exaggerating or is he actually doing this to children? And, like, you just kind of have to sit there and, like, play along with him. And in these tapes with Rochelle, he would talk about stuff that he would do with children. He also would give her tips and advice because she was trying to get as much information as possible. So, you know, she acted like she was into the kids too. You know, she would be asking him, well, what would you do? And she was very careful with her language as to not lead him, you know, not try to like force it or whatever. And he said explicitly, I want to have sex with children. She would always say, like, oh, yeah, and then what would you do next? Or, oh, I would like that. Like, she never said too much. She kind of just did the bare minimum, probably because she was just so disgusted and disturbed, but also she didn't want to, like, lead it too much. She wanted it to be, like, very authentic, probably, I feel like.
She didn't want to overplay her cards to where he probably didn't get any inclination that she was recording him or something else was up. Like,
right.
Kind of this is where, like, less is more type situation.
Exactly. In some tapes, he says that he had been traveling to different states to have sex with minors. There was, like, a 16-year-old girl in New York City, a paid escort or sex worker who he had sex with, and she was a child. There was other evidence that had connected him to paid sex with minors. So basically, he's just disgusting. And he was just giving her all these grooming techniques in these tapes as well. And like I said, you know, she had to kind of just string him along. And once they built up a relationship with each other, he was more than willing to offer up a ton of information and details about what he wanted to do with children and what he had already done with children. So she was just I mean, she was just feeling so depleted at this point, you know, feeling powerless that you can't really do anything about it. And you're trying so hard to do something about it. You have, like, you have all this evidence, right? But, like, you kind of have to keep up a performance and act like you want to hear more about it and that you're, like, into it. But I just feel like that has to take such a huge toll on a human being. And she talks about how she felt. She literally said that she was like, I felt dirty. I felt like my soul was dirty. And since Rochelle was doing this thing for years and years with Jared, it took such a toll on her health. And she really isn't like the happy-go-lucky person that she once was. She's even in a wheelchair because of the stress that it just put on her body. And it took such a huge toll. Now, kind of a little bit of a side note on Rochelle. After I had watched the documentary, I was like, this woman is a hero. She has dedicated such a huge portion of her life, like her health and her happiness, into just bringing justice for these children against Jared. And like, I still do fully believe that. But I do have to say, I listened to this podcast that was kind of interesting. The podcast is called Crime Writers On. This was my first time listening to it, like their podcast, but they did an episode on this, and it sounded like at least one or two of them were defense lawyers, and they had a little bit of a different take on Rochelle. They weren't like as big of fans of her as the documentary kind of like made her out to be. So they made some interesting points where you're kind of thinking like, oh yeah, that is kind of interesting how deeply she got into this and how much time and everything she put into talking with him. They kind of discussed it as the conversations of her kind of baiting him into revealing these things about himself. And she kind of like led him on in a lot of ways, acting like she was into it, putting her own children at the risk of it. And like with the birthday party and like everything like that. But like the main point that they kind of were making, it like slightly changed my perspective on the situation just a little bit. Like, you know, they were saying like the FBI kind of like stopped her, like they weren't involved with her anymore, and she kept going and going, and they were saying all that she needed was even two phone calls of like that evidence when they finally got concrete things from him to like use it. So they were saying like, oh, why spend so many like years of your life like just talking about this or whatever. So they say because at that point, most of the time the FBI, they were not asking her to do any of this anymore. But, you know, he got caught and it wasn't technically because of her. So their point is, why not just get the original like concrete evidence on the phone calls and then end it there, send it to the FBI, let them know that he admitted to this, and then never speak to him again. Whereas what really happened was she talked to him for years, she met up with him, she played along and pretended like she was into the same things as him, just got so far into it where it was almost unnecessary for her to go that far with it. That's what they were saying. I don't know. Like, I get what they're, like, certain points that they're making and everything. But I also think that she just had good intentions. And she just probably was so sickened by the things that she heard that he was doing. She just felt like she had to do everything that she could to get this guy caught. And she probably just felt so frustrated that the FBI was kind of blowing her off at that point. So I still give her credit. And, like, I am not against her like some of these people were and some other people are, but it definitely is interesting kind of just to hear a different perspective on that. They even alluded to something maybe more happening that we just don't know or that we aren't aware of, because they were talking about how her son was in the documentary and that there was more that he really didn't want to talk about, or he wasn't going to talk about, like he made a comment, and that he moved to Taiwan because he had to get away. Which, like, yeah, if you're going to move somewhere far because you're stressed about your life, Taiwan is a pretty far place to move. And again, I don't know what happened at all. There's probably so much more information and situations that took place that we don't even know about and probably will never know about. But it's definitely interesting to hear that take on it, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Didn't really change my perspective on Rochelle. I still think she, like, sacrificed so much of her life to just bring this horrible guy down.
Yeah, I do. I thought that too, like, listening to her son talk. Like, why did her, like, I don't know if you're going to talk about this or not, so hopefully I'm not, like, jumping your story. But, like, in the documentary, they talked about, like, how her daughter ransacked the house, ransacked her room, tipped everything over, mm-hmm. took important papers, like, all the stuff, and just kind of, like, lost her shit.
Yeah.
And how, because she felt so neglected that her mom wasn't there mommy, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
And then putting on top the son was like, oh, we're not going to talk about that. Like, it's like, I do kind of see the point, like, why is it, if you're already having these creepy conversations with them, you can probably get them to say whatever you need to say, get to the point and be done. Like, why are you dragging it out? Maybe she was feeling she was doing something important. She just went through a divorce, so maybe she felt like this was something important in life to do or something big. I don't know. And then it even said, like, her son is just now starting to talk to her again, like, and she hasn't talked to her daughter, so there's a missing piece mm-hmm. somewhere.
Yeah.
And then also I did want to say again, hopefully I'm not jumping the gun, where she was talking to Jared and he wanted to use her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, first off, gross. Second of all, she said she didn't know what to say to that and she felt very awkward. Very easily, all you had to do to say and not blow your cover, like, no, I'm not attracted to my kids and I would never let anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going after my kids. Like,
right.
My kids are off limits. Like, they're, she could have easily said that instead of saying, oh, I don't know which one you would like better, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's just
to
weird.
Me, she could have put an end to that real quick. Like, no, sorry. Not my kids, like,
right, like, and I don't
think I have that, a limit, sir,
right, know? I don't think that would have thrown everything off if she said that. I feel like that's a very understandable thing because people love their own children and wouldn't want that to happen to them, so I don't think he would have gotten thrown off by that, and it definitely would have been easy. And yeah, it is weird. It's like, I really do think there's, like, more to that story somewhere that I don't know if we'll ever know. Maybe if, like, the daughter comes out and talks about it or something.
Jared rebuttals.
Right. But yeah, definitely an interesting perspective. Because, like, on one hand, she is this, like, big hero that's, has a huge help in this, like, investigation against him and everything. But also, like, at what cost to your own family and your own health does it really, you know, take? Because, you know, like you said, and like they said, really, she could have just had a few conversations with him where he revealed certain things, and then bam, that's all you really need. You don't need to get so super deep into details on everything with him. Like,
I mean, it's disappointing that the FBI took so many years to mm-hmm. do it. Like, how many children did he hurt while they were dragging their feet?
Right.
Like, they heard the tape. Okay, they can't use it. But we got to be quick on our feet.
Yeah.
You know, in other ways to stop him.
Right. Exactly. Like, look for different things that you can use to get a warrant and all that stuff. So, yeah. Definitely interesting. I know there's always more to stories, but who knows if we'll ever find that out. So, anyways, during these phone conversations, Jared, like Lo had said, he went as far to ask Rochelle, to install a webcam in her own children's bedrooms so that he could watch the footage. Obviously, that horrified her. And she didn't know at that point if she can continue. But like Lo said, you know, she kind of brushed it off, just being like, oh, I don't know which one you would like better. And he was like, oh, well, which one do you think I would like better? And like, can you describe them to me? And all this weird stuff. And she just felt very uncomfortable with that. And by the way, Jared, at this point, he's married. He has a wife. He has kids, young kids. Which I don't believe there was anything about him doing anything to his own kids, but who really knows? Now, we flash forward to a huge break and start in the case against Jared. And it all started in 2015 with Russell Taylor, the head of the Jared Foundation.
I'm so sorry, my dog is jingling in the background.
Phoebe does not like this guy. She has something to say. So, the whole thing with Russell Taylor, it began with him talking about having content that had to do with bestiality. Which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically like sexual contact between humans and animals. Weird and gross. I don't understand. But Indiana State Police Captain Chuck Cohen, he received a tip that Russell Taylor, who at that point was the executive director of Jared Fogle's philanthropic organization, that he had sent images that depicted bestiality. And in the documentary, Detective Cohen explains that possessing such images is not illegal, but performing sexual acts with animals is. So, because he was sending these images, authorities did obtain a warrant and searched Russell Taylor's home in April of 2015. Personally, I did not know that this was illegal, but I'm glad that it is because that's so effed up. Like, what a weird, gross thing to do. But yeah, it was such a big thing that they did get a warrant and authorities actually went to Russell's home in Indiana to raid it, just to see if they could find any kind of this content. Now, when they did get what they were looking for as far as the bestiality, he had videos of a bunch of things like this, particularly of his own wife partaking in this kind of act, which is just so gross. I believe it was her with a horse. I just feel so icky even saying that. However, they were not expecting to find certain things when they were looking through all of this. You know, his computer files and everything. Along with those things, they had found a ton of child pornography. Authorities found more than 500 explicit images on his computer. They even found inappropriate videos that Russell had taken himself of underage girls, two of them being his own stepdaughters. They had put hidden cameras in the girls' rooms. The girls had no idea. It was running 24/7. He had videos of them doing literally anything. And if that's not disgusting enough, their own mother, his wife, was fully aware of this situation.
That part broke my heart, listening to the girls talk.
Like, what a horrible mother. And I just feel so incredibly bad for these two girls to find out that this was happening in the first place, but then also to find out that their mother was just extremely aware of it and in on it. How despicable.
Yeah, that I'm really glad that, I don't want to say I'm glad that there's two of them, but I'm glad that
they had each other.
They had each other because, yeah, like, their dad, I can't remember what they said happened to their dad. Their dad, they weren't close with their dad.
No.
He was in, prison or he died or?
He was not in their life. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what happened.
And then they, like, always, I remember their mom and Russell, they encouraged them to party and, like, partake in drugs and just alcohol. Sexual.
Yes. And then Russell was like, isn't it about time for you to start giving BJs? And, she's like, what?
Yeah, they were very, like, hypersexual with them and, like, encouraged them to do adult things as children. So once they found all of this, obviously Russell was arrested at his Indiana home for having child pornography. And after this happened, it was like, you know, everyone kind of looked at Jared a little bit just because he was the head of the Jared Foundation. They turned their attention to him, but no one really thought, like, as far as the public, that he was like a child molester or anything, you know, just because the head of his foundation did this doesn't mean that Jared had anything to do with it, right? Well, wrong, because during the police investigation, it was discovered that Russell Taylor had been sharing child porn with Jared Fogel. Through the investigation into Taylor, authorities discovered that he had sent an image of a naked minor to Jared, and Jared responded to the image asking when he could have sex with the child, which that triggered a full-on investigation, you know, beginning of the gotcha, bitch. So after their Russell investigation, he was sentenced to 27 years in prison. Now, Stephen DeBroda, who was an assistant U.S. attorney at the time, he says in the docuseries that Taylor gave Jared Fogel a thumb drive and a laptop with child porn. A search warrant was granted and authorities raided Jared's home on July 7th, 2015. And that's when all hell broke loose. That's when it was all found. And this is in August 2015 when Jared gets arrested and charged with possessing and distributing child pornography as well as committing sexual acts with minors. They found a ton, and I mean a ton of evidence at his house on his computer. Now, Jared allegedly spent $12,000 a year on sex workers. In text messages obtained during the investigation of Fogel, he wrote to an undisclosed recipient, "I'll pay you big bucks for a 14 or 15 year old because that's what I crave." He added of his preference, "The younger, the better, LOL." Sick. So, the detective says that Jared had sex with underage sex workers while staying at the Plaza and the Ritz-Carlton hotels in New York. In August 2015, Jared Fogel pleaded guilty to possession and distribution of child pornography and traveling across state lines to have commercial sex with a minor. So, you know, my thinking is they would have been able to get him regardless of Rochelle's evidence because they found the thumb drive that was sent to him from Russell's computer. However, I don't think that they would have had as much evidence against him and they wouldn't have been able to, like, maybe charge him as heavily without the help of Rochelle's own investigative work against him. Like, because she had a ton of evidence on her own, as we discussed before. Just so many phone calls, conversations, texts, email, like, everything with him and him admitting to so many things to her. I think that really just sealed the deal on his sentencing that he eventually got and really just nailed him. So, Jared was arrested and he was charged, like I said, charged with possessing, distributing child pornography as well as committing sexual acts with minors. He was ordered to pay $1.4 million to 14 of the victims. So they did, you know, find 14 victims. And he entered a plea agreement of guilty. And during the trial, the defense team actually argued that Jared's weight loss had led to, quote, hypersexuality. So, and they were trying to blame Subway as well for all of this, which, like I said before, I feel kind of bad for the company, but we did say, you know, they kind of covered up some stuff as well. So they're not super innocent. But yeah, his defense team argued that it was because of his weight loss that led to his hypersexuality. And they also had the gall to argue that the minors that Jared had sex with were technically adolescents and not children because they were a little bit older. But like, seriously, like, that does not make a difference. They were still underage children. Like, he broke the law. He had sex with a 16-year-old, you know?
And openly admitting that 9 and 10-year-olds turn them 9.
Yes! Like, he was preying on children. I don't care how old they were.
Their bodies are pure.
Yep, and he had porn on his computer. Like, and some of the images that were found in his computer were of children as young as 6 years old. Like, I'm sorry. Like, even if you didn't have sex with, like, a five-year-old, like, you had sex with a 15-year-old, you still participated in their abuse by wanting those pictures and that content. Like, I just don't understand. It makes no sense. Like, when you're watching that porn, you're complicit in it. You're participating in the abuse of children. So, in November of that year, he was sentenced to 15 years in prison. In January of 2016, I have a little fun fact for you. Jared was beat up by another inmate while in prison. He suffered a bloody nose, scratches, and a swollen face. And the guy who beat him up was like, yeah, I beat him up. Because, I mean, you know, like, it's a pretty known fact that child molesters don't do well in prison. Which, like, I'm cool with that, you know.
Right.
I'm cool that he got beat up. He also gained 30 pounds while he was in prison. And that was kind of a news story that he gained some of his weight back as well. A little bit after he was in prison, kind of more recently, he tried to get out of his sentence by claiming that he's a sovereign citizen. Which I looked this up, and basically what I could understand is that a sovereign citizen doesn't believe in the U.S. government, so therefore the rules, like, don't apply to them. Which is so ridiculous. So he's like, yeah, I'm a sovereign citizen, okay? Like, the rules and the laws don't apply to me because I just don't believe in them. Like, what does that even mean? Like, anybody could say that. You know what I mean? Like, anybody could just be like, well, I don't believe in that. So, thankfully and obviously, this did not work. It did not lower his sentence or get him out at all. Because, obviously, that's ridiculous if it did. And also, dude, you only got 15 years. Like, you should be in prison for life for the things that you've done. And, like, you only had to pay $1.4 million, and he has a net worth of $15 million. So, like, he got off pretty fine and dandy, I think, for the things that he did.
Too easy.
Mm-hmm, too easy.
It should have been, like, 15 years for each count.
Yes, exactly. So, once all of this information came out into the light, his wife did end up divorcing him, and good for her. I mean, I feel so horrible, like, to find that information out about your husband, like, how gut-wrenching. Like, that must have been horrible and utterly shocking for her if she had no idea. Especially, you know, since she had kids with him, I can't imagine all the questions and thoughts that went through her mind, wondering, like, if he did anything to their kids. And, like, even their poor kids, like, I can't imagine having a dad, not only as a public figure, would be hard enough, but also then all of this news coming out about your dad being a child predator and having him go to prison for that. I mean, that's true trauma that they're going to have to live with for the rest of their lives. So it's just, it's really disappointing. But, yeah, I truly feel for all the victims and the children in this situation. You know, over however many years that this took place, there were 14 victims that he got charged for that they found evidence for. However, I can guarantee that there are more out there. I would not be surprised at all. You know, these kids all had to be so devastatingly affected by this pervert, this disgusting man. He was truly manipulative. He never had good intentions, and he was just literally an overall devastation to society and to his own family. And kind of funny enough, which I thought was kind of weird, so he was the spokesman for Subway for 15 years, and he ended up getting put away in prison for 15 years. So I thought that was kind of just like a weird coincidence as well. But yeah, he is still rotting in prison as he should, and I'm just so happy that he got caught. I'm disappointed it took as long as it did and that he had to, like, have so many victims. But he's stopped. He's not out there. I hope he does not get released early at any point. 15 years still doesn't even seem, like, long enough because he wasn't, like, that old. So it's, like, I just feel like once he gets out of prison, he's going to go back to certain areas of his old ways. You know, he might be more sneaky about it or something, but I just feel like he's not gonna stop.
I also want to say that I feel for, like you said, his family, his wife having to give a speech. And, you know, basically she learned about this when the FBI, you know, and everything came out. She kind of learned about it, too. Like, and it's got to be so devastating to face the backlash of America, because people can be mean, you know, and hopefully she didn't get a lot of, like, going down with him. You know, she took her kids and bailed, but yeah, I can't imagine, like, finding out that your husband and the father of your kid is a monster.
Especially, I mean, that's so devastating enough, but then the public factor of it all, to be just so out there, just has to just make it, like, 10 times worse. So, yeah, I just feel horrible for literally just everybody in this situation. Nobody made out well in this situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the disgusting story of Jared Vogel, the subway guy. And, needless to say, me and Lo are pretty happy that he's behind bars.
Yes, absolutely. It says that he's up for parole in 29, so he doesn't got that much more to go. Ugh. It'd be nice if he got denied.
Yeah.
Hopefully all those people that stood up, hopefully their parents or them now, because they'll be adults, can advocate and say, like, yeah, no, he should be there. You know, if we haven't learned anything from last week's story, last week was a little bit more gruesome. He was a crazy rapist, mm-hmm. you know, who literally should have been castrated from day one.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like he's going to be changed. I feel like he's always going to have those urges.
Mm-hmm.
It does say that he would have supervised parole. I don't know what that means. Like, somebody have to live with him?
Yeah, like maybe he has to live in, like, a group home or something?
I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out in 2029.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's behind bars. I'm glad he came out. It's so weird, though, because you look at pictures of him, and he is the nerdiest, like,
mm-hmm.
average guy that you just think, like, oh, my God, he looks like, you know, like a gamer, nerdy.
Yeah.
Not to stereotype y'all, sorry.
Right.
But he just looks, he's got an innocent look to him.
Like, when you think child predator, you think of some grungy, gross, kind of older guy, like, who's let himself go, all that kind of stuff. And it's, like, really sad reality is, could be anybody. Doesn't matter what they look like. Literally, you have no idea. And the fact that his wife had no idea is scary as hell. You know? You just don't know people sometimes. So, look out, everybody.
Yes. Again, look for red flags. Keep your eyes, ears, everything opened. Pay attention to just, you know, obviously she recognized it. He was a little bit more, like, stupid about it, though. He just flat out said, you know, hey, high school girls are hot, you know?
Yeah, like, why would you? It's weird.
Yeah, like, I don't know if he wanted to get caught or...
And it's so crazy that... I mean, I guess he would have got caught either way if he didn't make that comment, because he did get caught because of the stuff sent to him. But super crazy that, you know, that one comment really changed Rochelle's life. And because if he never said that to her, she would have never known, you know? So, very weird. But I know this was a little bit of a longer one, but I hope you guys enjoyed this and learned something more from it. I do recommend, if you want to get a little bit more in-depth and more personalized with this story, the docuseries is really good. So go and check that out. And as always, if you guys have any recommendations that you would like for us to do, just hit us up on any of our socials or email us horrorwineandcrime@gmail.com, and we would be more than happy to get those done for you.
Yes. Let us know thoughts, comments, opinions, suggestions, case stories, whatever it is. We love to hear the ideas. I actually haven't got a chance to talk to Crystal about it, but I do have another person who gave us a suggestion. I was listening to a little bit on a podcast about him, somebody else's podcast, just to kind of get an idea of who he was. And it's a monster.
Oh, man.
But, yes, and thank you, Crystal, for bringing this idea of the Subway Guy story. I knew who he was and what he did, but I didn't know all the details. So watching the documentary was very informational for me.
Mm-hmm. Very insightful.
And I just pray that his family has moved on peacefully. I pray that Rochelle reunited with her family and they found peace and found their way back together. And hopefully he's done wrecking families everywhere he goes.
Yeah. Literally, hopefully he is just truly stopped
and
forever.
Also, Jersey Mike's.
Hashtag Jersey Mike's.
It's just got better quality food, in my opinion. You pay a little bit more, but I feel it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is much higher than Subway, especially nowadays. Their quality has gone down quite a bit. But yeah, guys, thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you again next week with a brand new episode.
On that note, we gots to go.
Stay creepy.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't eat fresh.
Don't eat fresh.